You're listening to the Miles to Go podcast, the go-to source for travel tips, news, and reviews you can't afford to miss. Now, here's your host, travel expert Ed Pizza.
Welcome back to the Miles to Go podcast. We've got a special segment this week because of a recent United announcement that just happened yesterday, and it's a pretty big change for business travelers. So on this podcast, if it's United Airlines and it involves elite status, it's me calling up my buddy Zach from TPG. Zach, thanks for spending some time today to go over the changes.
Hey, always a pleasure, Ed. Thanks for having me on.
Yeah, so let's dive in first to what happened. You know, we're obviously going to link to the post that you've already written for folks to review, but let's talk a bit about what United actually did today as it involves the things that, for as long as I can recall, you and I have called RPUs and GPUs.
Yeah. So it is obviously very rare that an airline introduces a brand new rewards currency, but that's effectively what we had. So this morning, United announced Plus Points, which is an entirely different currency from Mileage Plus, redeemable miles. Plus Points will specifically be used for upgrades. So confirmed and waitlisted upgrades, replacing United's existing RPUs, which are the regional premier upgrades, which you can use for domestic and regional flights to move up to first class or regional business. So basically those recliner seats, except on transcons. And then GPUs, which are the global premier upgrades. And those are the coveted international, ideally true Polaris seat upgrades that you can get on flights to Europe and Asia, Australia, all that good stuff.
Yeah, and over the long haul, we expect to see more of the true Polaris seat. You'll see in the branding that United released that everything says Polaris Business because that's what they call the product. But essentially, it's your upgrade to long-haul business class, which was a GPU, is now the equivalent of 40-plus points.
That's right, yeah, 40-plus points. And so each RPU is equivalent to 20-plus points. So the regional upgrades are 20-plus points. Each GPU is 40 plus points, and your existing balance is actually going to be converted over to plus points on December 4th of this year. And so any outstanding expiring RPUs and GPUs that you have in your account, maybe you earned them last year and they're good through the end of January 2020, those will be converted to plus points. And then any that you've earned this calendar year will also be converted to plus points. And if you have yet to earn any upgrade certificates and they don't hit your account before December 4th, when you do actually earn them, you'll earn them as plus points instead of certificates. And so those will just appear in your account. They carry the same expiration date as the existing certificates. And so they'll still expire at the end of January, but they'll go into a balance together. So your RPUs and GPUs will essentially be combined and they'll be much more flexible. And so the redemptions are based on a number of points, not a specific certificate type. And so I outline all the different redemption options in my post, but they range from 20 plus points to 80 plus points right now. And I can walk you through some of those specifics if we'd like.
Yeah, I think let's focus on the things that are new, which I think when we're talking about positives for this change, I think the increased flexibility of the points is a big one. So let's talk a little bit about the ability to upgrade to Premium Plus, which is their premium economy product, and then also the ability to upgrade from Premium Plus to business, to traditional long-haul business class.
Yeah. So right now, you can actually use a GPU to upgrade from economy to premium plus. You're probably wondering why you might want to do that when the same certificate can get you a true business class seat. And the answer is that, you know, if there is an availability for business class, but there is for premium plus, some travelers may be willing to, you know, to burn a GPU on that upgrade to premium economy. And you can waitlist for both. So going from economy, you can use the same GPU to waitlist for both premium plus and business. Obviously, if business opens up, that's what you'll get. Worst case, you'll end up in premium economy, but it requires the same GPU. So you're burning that GPU, whether you fly in premium plus or in Polaris. With plus points, it'll actually only be 20 plus points to move from economy to premium plus. And so that's the same that you need for that domestic or regional upgrade. And you're essentially flying in the same seat. So, you know, you can do Newark to Hong Kong 16 hours in premium economy, for the same number of plus points as a, you know, a Newark to Chicago in domestic first on 737. So that's a big boost. The other is that you can upgrade from Premium Plus to Polaris. And right now that requires one full GPU. But beginning December 4th, that'll be 30 plus points. And so, you know, a little more bang for your buck there as well. Now, when it comes to partners, you can still redeem for ANA and Lufthansa. And so that'll be the same 40 plus points. So the exact same number of plus points you'll need to move from economy to business on United. One negative change, though, is that economy to COPA business, which is one RPU now, that's going to be 40 plus points. And so you're going to be paying the same for that, you know, COPA business recliner seat on a shorter flight as you would today for, you know, an ANA or Lufthansa lie flat business class seat. So that is not ideal.
Yeah, it's definitely not ideal. And COPA can be a good way to get to South America via their Panama hub. And yeah, that recliner seat is actually pretty similar to the United domestic first class seats. And when you talk about the move from economy to premium plus, and then the move from premium plus to business class, I think, you know, what I hear United saying, and what I agree with them on, is that those sorts of moves, when we move to a points system, allows them to right size the value or get the correct value associated with the product. So I'd like to say, at least from where I sit, I know you do this sometimes too, I always feel like, because I can't find the availability, that January of each year is sort of my GPU lottery. I'm giving away the GPUs that I couldn't burn earlier in the year on long haul international and didn't want to burn from, say, my home airport of Dulles to Chicago, because it felt like, well, gosh, that's an awful lot of certificate to use.
Right, exactly. Yeah. And I do a giveaway each year. I'm going to do it again this year on Instagram, just because, you know, there are so many Platinum 1K and Global Services members that end up with upgrades that just go poof at the end of this, you know, January. They never get to use all of their upgrades. And United actually, you know, they've made it pretty easy to earn additional incremental upgrades. And so if you're a Global Services member, you know, if you're probably buying full fare business class on a lot of flights, you know, if you're buying a J fare, you earn 300% PQMs. So if you have a 4,000 mile flight from, say, Newark to Germany, in each direction, you're earning 12,000 PQMs round trip. That's almost enough for an upgrade certificate. And so, you know, you have a lot of these frequent business travelers that end the year with so many GPUs, and they just, you know, they don't have any way to use them. You know, they might have a personal trip, but they're waitlisting and, you know, unable to confirm, so they end up expiring. But another cool change is a new skip waitlist option. And so we don't have the specifics on how many plus points this will require and exactly when it'll be available. But essentially, even if there isn't availability in the required fare classes, so that's PN fare class for Global Services members and PZ for 1K and general members, you'll be able to confirm at booking an upgrade to Polaris. And so I'm guessing it's going to require twice the number of plus points as the jump from economy to Polaris on a deep discounted economy fare. And I'll get into that in a second as well. So, I mean, my guess is, yes, this is going to be a very expensive upgrade, probably, you know, maybe 160 plus points. But if you have a really special trip and you don't want to spend for business class, but you want to fly in business, it is definitely an option. But the one caveat there is that, two actually, you have to book at least 30 days in advance in order to be eligible for skip waitlist. And if you do use that option, you have been locked in that flight. And so you cannot make any changes to the flight if you choose to skip the waitlist. So United has essentially taken that business seat out of inventory that they weren't planning to use for an upgrade. And so if they're kind of offering that business seat to you, they don't want you to, you know, at the last minute change your mind. And so you have to be certain. So this is really for, you know, a leisure trip. Maybe a very special trip, like, you know, a honeymoon, or, you know, a once in a year, you know, vacation to Europe or something like that. And you also have to be traveling yourself in order to use the skip waitlist option. So Plus points can still be used for other travelers. And so you can gift them to friends or family members or really anyone you want. But to use Skip Waitlist, you have to be on the same itinerary as someone else. So, you know, if it's your family of four traveling together, you can still use the option, but you all have to be on the same PNR or itinerary in order to select that option. Now, the other option as well that's new is moving from economy to Polaris with a deep discounted economy fare. And so that's S, T, L, K, and G fare classes. So in the past, you would need that W fare, which could be quite a bit more expensive. And, you know, if you're pretty uncertain about the upgrade, so, you know, say you're booking a week out and there's only like three or four business seats left for sale, I don't know if it's going to clear. This is a good opportunity to book a discounted economy ticket. And then in the off chance it clears, you'll have to part with more plus points. So it'll be 80 instead of 40. But at least you're not kind of laying out the cash for a W fare or higher.
Yeah, and I think when we look at this, you know, the economy to the discounted economy to business class is a significant change for United. Again, depending on whether you use it or not, it's one of the big differences between United and American and Delta in terms of how each awards upgrade certificates to their most elite travelers. And so to put it in perspective, and I know we've been talking about points, but if we say that it costs 80 points to upgrade from discounted economy to Polaris business class, and a 1K member is getting 320 points per year, then they're essentially getting four of these upgrades from any fare class other than basic economy. And so if we try to, again, we're using points in transferring to certificates. If we try to parallel that to where American and United are, American and Delta are, American right now offers four system-wide upgrades at the 100,000 EQM mark for executive platinum travelers. And you can earn more. But at that level, those four system-wide upgrades don't have any fare restrictions on them. Well, not any fare restrictions, but essentially there's no whiskey class fare restrictions. Pretty much everything other than consolidator fares that a person can use those for. And then on Delta, there are a bunch of Delta Choice benefits when you get to the Diamond level. But suffice it to say that if you chose upgrades, which a lot of their elites do, you would get the equivalent of four the global premier upgrades that they have, which again are not restricted by fare class. And so at a base level, they're all essentially offering the same number of upgrades now from a discounted economy, with United's change here to allow an upgrade on a discounted economy fare. Delta offers a few permutations of what folks can redeem for. In this move, United really does roll out a number of different possibilities for how you can combine your plus points to use for different upgrades. And I think, you know, if there's something to walk away from with this, it's really the flexibility that they're offering their elite members.
Yeah, absolutely. And one other point to make, too, is that for the first time, platinum members are going to be able to redeem for an international upgrade. And so because, you know, those two RPUs are, you know, essentially being, you know, cashed out into 40 plus points, a platinum member can choose if they instead, you know, want to redeem for one international upgrade instead of two domestic or regional business upgrades. That's their choice to make. And so this is the first time that, you know, someone who earns platinum status with United can actually redeem for a long haul international Polaris upgrade. And so that's a big boost as well, in my opinion.
Yeah, and I don't think it's a coincidence that the number of points works out to essentially what American and Delta are offering when it comes to global upgrades, long haul business class upgrades. I had hoped that at some point United would roll out a change where we would be able to redeem the existing GPUs that we had for discounted economy. And while they've kind of done that, they've done it in a way that that reduces the total number of upgrades you could use in that situation. So for somebody like me who frequently finds that they can't use their GPUs, there's a double-edged sword here. It's like, well, I can use them now on a discounted economy fare. I'd be getting less total upgrades as opposed to if I found availability for all of them. And my typical experience is that I don't find it, whereas I think you generally are able to use a higher number of your GPUs on a yearly basis right now.
Yeah, so I'm very flexible. And I happen to, you know, I'm based out of Newark. And so, you know, we've got 5 daily flights from Newark to London. You know, there's leisure routes to Europe. I don't mind connecting in order to, you know, be able to clear an upgrade at booking. And that's another point too, is I'm seeking out the PZ fare class when I go to book a flight. And yeah, you know, I can plan far enough in advance and travel on off days that, you know, I can pretty consistently find confirmed upgrade space. You know, I might have to fly, let's say, Newark to Lisbon and then connect on TAP or something to, you know, to get to Italy or you know, to France or something like that. But it is an option. And so I'm especially flexible. I'm going to Oktoberfest this weekend. And I didn't want to be super flexible because, you know, I'm traveling with a friend and I didn't want to bounce around too much. And so this is one of those long shot upgrades. Currently there's 5 seats left for sale. I think maybe I have a chance, but, if I were booking now, I would have probably taken that discounted economy fare, and then applied double the plus points, in order you know, wait list for a long shot upgrade, like the one I have on Saturday. And so worst case, I'm going in economy, and I'm not out the extra cash for that higher fare. Now, one thing though, is it still makes sense to do some comparison shopping because, the S fare class, for example, is still considered discounted for the purposes of, plus points or redeeming a GPU. But it can only save you typically, you know, on flights to Europe, it's less than $100. I've sometimes see a difference of maybe $30, $40, $50 for S versus W. And so if that's the case, you know, I would rather buy up to W, have a better shot of clearing the upgrade because I'm a higher priority against the other one case, and use half the number of plus points. And so I would still do comparison shopping. If you're seeing a K fare, which is the, you know, typically the lowest you'll come across, you know, I'll see round trip pay fares to Europe for like $400 or $500 compared to $1,000, $1,200 for W. But the difference between S and W is so insignificant sometimes that it can really make sense just to spend a little bit more and in the future use half the number of points.
Yeah, I think it'll be interesting to see how those gaps play. I mean, I know there were certainly times where V Victor class, which is above W, was sometimes cheaper than a whiskey class fare for me. So no question it pays to look in those fare buckets and see what's sitting in them. I think notionally, just from where I sit, and this isn't necessarily long-haul business class, what I've seen over the past couple of years with PZ inventory is as a 1K who is sometimes buying M Mike class fares, where those used to be auto upgrades as long as there was inventory available, I found those clear significantly less frequently early on for popular domestic routes that I use. So I'll be interested to see how PZ availability looks like in the new equation, whether it's opened up more or it stays the same. Because I feel like right now, the amount of PZ inventory I see today is less than maybe I would have seen in the corresponding bucket a couple of years ago.
Yeah, I feel like I'm definitely encountering PZ more often on international routes. And so, I mean, this is just me based out of Newark, but yeah, the chance of finding it on especially a domestic transcon is, unless you're taking like the 10 or 11 p.m. Newark to Los Angeles flight on a Friday night or something like that, there's next to no chance of that upgrade clearing in advance.
Yeah.
But going to Europe or flights, well, especially now to Hong Kong because there's less demand, but even flights to Australia I've seen, and certainly to, you know, to Narita, there is a considerable amount of PZ availability, you know, months in advance. And so, you know, as long as you have some flexibility, you're booking really far out, you know, right now, even there's, you know, decent availability for those 1K upgrades for sure.
So as we wrap up, I want to get final thoughts from you. We've talked through a lot of the basics of what's out there and certainly some stuff still to come, see how it's actually implemented. But what's your overall opinion, having had a little bit of time to look at these changes and digest them?
Yeah, I mean, I've looked hard to find any cons here. I mean, really the only clear negative change is that economy to Copa Business, that you'll need twice the number of points or, you know, a GPU versus an RPU essentially. But I've actually never used an RPU for Copa personally. And so, you know, for me, that's not a huge hit. I think overall, you know, being able to use fewer Plus points to move up to Premium Plus, or Premium Plus to Polaris, which is actually something that's really attractive to me.
Yeah.
You know, on some routes, you know, Premium Plus is only a couple hundred dollars more than you know, a W fare, or can be even you know, only $100 more. And if you book a Premium Plus fare, you're at the top of the wait list. And worst case, you know, you end up in a premium economy seat. And so, and you're earning more miles, you know, elite qualifying miles to boot. So, being able to use fewer Plus points, 30 versus 40, is definitely a big boost. I imagine I'll be booking more Premium Plus fares, and then waitlisting for Polaris with 30 Plus points than, you know, W, and with 40 Plus points. So that's big. But yeah, just the flexibility overall. And if I were a platinum member now, I'd be thrilled that I have an opportunity to redeem, you know, for an international upgrade for the first time. That's really cool.
Yeah. And on the Premium Plus side of things, you know, being a Dulles based traveler, I generally have two wide bodies from British Airways flying from here to London every night. And there's almost always some sort of award availability there. And so for me, I'll typically book a premium economy seat on their planes, World Traveler Plus, it's called, and upgrade to their business class product using a fairly reasonable amount of Avios, not as small as it used to be. But you know, seeing this change with United where I can book into premium economy and bump up to business class, that's definitely appealing to me as well. I think the other big takeaway I have from today, and maybe this is a bit of monsters under the bed from some of the other changes that we've seen recently with the move to more dynamic award pricing, but I think the big dodge here is it's been unspoken so far whether these sorts of upgrades, the system-wide upgrade, the global premier upgrade, if at some point the airlines would look at those and say, yes, we're going to, you're still going to get those instruments, but we consider that an upgrade from economy to premium economy. And then, you know, from premium economy to business. And so it would significantly devalue those upgrades that I think some business travelers really do covet. And so I think it's a big dodge here that they haven't done that. And that essentially they're still saying that an international upgrade is from economy class with some fare restrictions to business class in terms of how they value these new points.
Yeah, absolutely. And I mean, with United making this change now and, you know, in December, I imagine it'll be some time before we see any kind of devaluation. Of course, with this points currency, it does make it a little bit easier to devalue upgrades. And so we could potentially see, you know, a jump from economy to Polaris costing 60 plus points in the future or something along those lines. But I wouldn't expect it for a few years at least. And you know, I think that, you know, this really is a rare positive change overall.
Yeah, for sure. And I think ultimately, since they control the inventory buckets, there's no necessary need to devalue. It won't necessarily stop them from doing so. But seeing as how they can, you know, they can release however many seats they want, they may not need to devalue the currency.
No, that's a very good point. Yeah, definitely. And I do want to just mention too, because I've gotten great value out of this. I've upgraded my economy to business on Lufthansa as well. Don't overlook those, you know, specifically that economy to Lufthansa, to business on Lufthansa, and then if you're fortunate enough to be booking business class, paid business class, business to first class on Lufthansa, great opportunities to redeem GPUs or plus points in the future. ANA is quite a bit more restrictive, but you know, this is definitely something to look for. And I've found decent availability on Lufthansa. You just have to find I India class, which is that's the same fare class that Lufthansa uses for Saver Awards. But you know, it's plentiful. And so that's something I would look, you know, towards as well.
Yeah, and I think that now that process has become more automated, that's certainly helpful. I mean, back in the olden days where you used to have like printed certificates that they would mail you, I think it was much more restrictive for people to consider it. So it's definitely gotten a lot easier to redeem for that stuff.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Well, Zach, thanks for spending some time with us. These are big changes for business travelers, making things more flexible. And I think they rely on things like this to make business and leisure travel more tolerable. You know, when you're not hopping on the podcast with me, or recording your own podcast miles away, tell folks where they can track you down.
Yeah, sure. So I am on Twitter and Instagram at Zach Honig. Oh, and I just started playing around with TikTok, which found some interesting content there. So I'm Zach Honig there as well.
Yeah, and TikTok, wasn't that where your iPhone 11 review went like absolutely bonkers?
Yeah, it's crazy. Just an unboxing of the iPhone 11. I think it's up to 1.7 million views right now. So definitely an unusual platform, but a growing, very popular platform.
Yeah. Indeed. Yeah, that's pretty cool. All right, well, and guys, don't forget, if you are into podcasts, make sure you tune in to Zach's Miles Away podcast on a weekly basis. Zach, thanks a bunch for being on with me this week.
Thanks so much for having me, Ed. And I just want to throw TPG in there as well. We've got a variety of social platforms, at The Points Guy on Instagram and Twitter, and head on over to the TPG Lounge on Facebook as well. We've got a hearty discussion going right now on Plus Points right there in the lounge.
I can't wait to jump into that discussion. Thanks a bunch, Zach.
Thanks for having me on.
And that's a full wrap on this week's episode. A big thanks to Zach for taking some time to help explain Plus Points to all of us. Definitely changes the way business travelers will be processing upgrades in the very near future. If you have a question or a topic you'd like to see discussed on a future show, I hope you'll take a moment and email me, ed@pizzainmotion.com. You can also find me on social media, Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram, all at Pizza in Motion. And you can find me blogging each and every day at pizzainmotion.com. We'll be back with you next week with a segment on a better way to organize your miles and points to make sure that they never expire and you get the most value possible out of them. Until then, we've got miles to go.